On a summer afternoon in 1946 in rural Georgia, a white mob lynched four young black people. The brutal killings led to a national outcry, prompting President Harry Truman to push for sweeping civil rights changes that ultimately would desegregate the military. J. Edgar Hoover's FBI investigated, but no one was ever convicted of the murders. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with Laura Wexler, author of a new book that revisits America's last mass lynching.
Laura Wexler calls her book Fire in a Canebrake. She took the title from the way local people describe the lynchings.
A canebrake is a thicket of river cane, which almost looks like bamboo. If you were to light a fire in the area where this canebrake was, the hollow cane stalks explode, and they make a sound like gunshots.
The real gunshots in Walton County, Georgia, were heard all across America. The NBC Evening News, in those days radio news, typified the coverage.
This is what the anchor said. 140 million Americans were disgraced late yesterday, humiliated in their own eyes and in the eyes of the world by one of the most vicious lynchings to stain our national record. A gang of armed and degenerate poor whites waylaid a Negro man and another man and their wives on a country road 40 miles from Atlanta. The brief and sadistic orgy ended in the bodies being riddled by 60 bullets.
The mob was really after only one of the group, Roger Malcolm, who'd been arrested for knifing a white man while drunk. Roger Malcolm had just been bailed out of jail by a white landowner, and they were passing over the Moores Ford Bridge when the killers appeared. The landowner later said his black passengers were dragged out of the car and down an embankment. When found, Roger Malcolm's body had been mutilated. 50 years later, Laura Wexler moved south to work at the University of Georgia and heard about the lynchings. A group of local citizens, both black and white, had just formed the Moores Ford Memorial Committee to keep the story alive. Laura Wexler hoped she could unravel the mystery of who did what at Moores Ford. Put this in perspective. There had been hundreds of lynchings up to this period in the South. Why did this lynching stand out?
For one thing, it was an aberration because since the peak of lynchings in 1890, lynchings had been on the decline. In fact, the black newspapers heralded that there had almost been a lynchless year. And so when this happened in 1946, the fact that there are so many victims, you know, four victims, two of those victims are women, and one of the men was a World War II veteran who 8 months before had returned from fighting in the U.S. Army, supposedly for democracy. So all of these things were galvanizing facts that caused nationwide outrage and that eventually motivated President Truman to send in the FBI.
The FBI was particularly not suited at that time to do an investigation like this, as you write.
They had some key challenges from the start. There was very little physical evidence. By the time the FBI got there a few days later, the scene had been picked over by souvenir collectors, and so all they were able to recover was a handful of bullets and shotgun shells. And they were going into an area where they were outsiders, where their best information was going to come from black people who were living on the farms of white people, who were working for white people. Hoover was no fan of the NAACP and wasn't what you would call sensitive to black people in the area. In response to a request for the Bureau to send in what few black agents they had, his response was, well, the fear of the locals is so great that they wouldn't talk to a black agent.
Probably not a realistic option, since the three black agents in the FBI's employ at the time were, one, his driver, two, his valet, and three, a 68-year-old semi-retired agent.
Right.
The white people in the town, were they not talking because they were afraid? It was a white mob, but it was a mob.
Right.
Or were they not talking because of a sense that they were being invaded?
I think all those things were the case. There were white people who were not in agreement with the crime, but their loyalty to the community, and I think in a larger sense, their loyalty toward maintaining a system of white supremacy, prevented them from aiding the FBI. You know, it was a time when the liberal idea, and this was the idea of most of the townspeople in Monroe, the county seat of Walton County, was that, you know, we need to treat the black people kindly enough, or at least not terrorize them, because if we terrorize them, then they're going to leave, and who's going to pick the cotton? Where would they be then? I mean, their livelihoods would be severely threatened.
Loy Harrison, the white landowner who bailed out Roger Malcolm, at a certain point when he comes under suspicion for driving this group to their death, his excuse is that this hurt me too.
At the moment when the FBI starts pressing him on these inconsistencies in his alibi for that day, his response is to say, you know, if I knew anything, I'd sure tell it. And then he says, and I quote, "Why, I'm as mad as anybody the way they killed my niggers. I need all the nigger hands I can get." So it's this idea that he would never be involved in planning or participating in the lynching because it would be bad business. I think his racism and his violence trumped his business concerns.
How disappointed were you at the end of these years of investigating this that there wasn't a great dramatic moment where suspects were brought, you know, were reaccused and brought to court?
I did find two men who were suspects in 1946 that were still living, and I was able to basically ask them the same questions the FBI had asked 50 years before.
And
they said almost word for word the very same things they said in 1946. In a way, it's a script. That's one of the remarkable things about this lynching, I think, is that 57 years later, the silence still holds. Nobody's cracked. To me, that demonstrates the power of racism to distort and to destroy a community's and individual's ability to tell the truth.
Laura Wexler is author of the book Fire in a Canebrake, The Last Mass Lynching in America. Today, thanks to the Moores Ford Memorial Committee, there is a plaque where the lynchings took place, so no one will ever forget. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
There's an excerpt of Fire in a Canebrake and an extended version of the interview at npr.org.